Thank you, Greg. From the cradle to the cross, we have focused on people who are drawn to Jesus. And now, this resurrection morning, we are going to bring this series to a close by focusing on someone who was drawn to Jesus before the cross and who was also graciously drawn to Jesus after the resurrection. He was drawn from doubt to belief. We are going to focus on the Apostle Thomas. Our text is John chapter 20, verses 24 through 31. The passage will be on the screen in the English Standard Version, but I encourage you to open your Bibles to the passage as well. And if you are able, I ask you to stand for the reading. It is our tradition here at First Church to stand for the reading because we know that the Bible is the holy word of God. Our risen Lord is speaking to us. We stand in honor of him. John chapter 20, beginning with verse 24. Now Thomas, one of the 12, called the twin, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see in his hands the mark of the nails, and place my finger into the mark of the nails, and place my hand into his side, I will never believe." 8 days later, his disciples were inside again, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands, and put out your hand and place it in my side. Do not disbelieve, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. Let's pray. Father God Almighty, we thank you for this record of what took place after your resurrection. And Father, we thank you that you worked graciously in the life of Thomas and drew him from doubt to belief. And we pray, Father, that as we look at this, your word, you would draw us to believe even more deeper in Christ our risen Lord. And we pray, Father, that you would draw people who do not believe to believe in Jesus this day, do a great miracle as we continue to worship you, listening to your word. And we pray this in the name of Jesus, amen. You may be seated. Well, what is the first word that comes to mind when you think of the Apostle Thomas? My guess is that many of you are thinking of the word doubt. Thomas has often been referred to as doubting Thomas. And that's what we're going to address as our first point. Is doubt. We certainly see in our passage that Thomas was full of doubt. His doubt could rightly be called unwavering doubt. For no one could convince him Jesus was alive. Look at verse 25 again. It says, "So the other disciples told him, 'We've seen the Lord.'" The phrase "other disciples" likely includes all of the people who had already seen the risen Lord, which would include the other 10 apostles And the two men who saw Jesus as they traveled on that road to Emmaus, and the women who saw Jesus as well. So more than a dozen people who Thomas knew well, who were his friends, who he trusted, were telling him, "We have seen the Lord." But Thomas didn't believe. He rejected that unanimous, strong testimony. Think about that with me. Thomas rejecting the testimony of all of the apostles and other disciples would be like all of the elders of First Church telling me something with a united, sincere, passionate voice and me not believing them, which is really hard to imagine. For I would believe about anything my elders told me in that way. For instance, if they said to me, if all of my elders said to me, "Listen, we have something shocking to tell you. We all saw Elvis Presley. He never really died. He told us his death was a hoax so he could hide from the public. He's 85 years old, and you know the years have not been too kind to him. He doesn't look so good, but he's alive, and he can still play the guitar." If all of the elders of First Church sincerely said that to me with unified voice, without cracking a joking smile, well, I would be utterly surprised. I might be speechless for a moment. I might look around for a hidden camera. But if it was clear they were serious, I would believe them. They are my friends. I trust them. How could I not believe them if all of them were giving me the same testimony? Now, if only one of my elders came to me and said, "You know, I saw Elvis Presley, he's alive." Well, then I would call the other elders and say, "Listen, we've got a problem here." But if all of them said it, all of them gave the same testimony, wow, that would be very convincing. And you see, that's what Thomas was hearing. It wasn't just one or two disciples telling Thomas, "We've seen Jesus." All of them were. And they were passionate. They were excited. They said, "Thomas, we have seen the Lord." But Thomas didn't believe it. That's unwavering doubt. And think about this. Thomas had that doubt even though he had seen Jesus perform many extraordinary miracles, including the resurrection of Lazarus. It wasn't that long before Jesus' resurrection that Thomas saw Lazarus walk out of the tomb 4 days after he'd been dead and buried. That was, to say the least, an awesome miracle. So why was Thomas so full of doubt? Why wouldn't he believe the unified testimony of his trusted friends? Well, let me show you something that's really easy to overlook when you're focused on Thomas. Look with me at Luke chapter 24. At the beginning of that chapter, the stone is found rolled away from the tomb. And then some angels show up and tell the women Jesus is risen. And along with that news, the angels remind the women of what Jesus had said about rising again. To say the least, the women were very excited about this news. And starting in verse 8 of that chapter, we read this, "And they remembered his," Jesus' words. "And returning from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the rest." Notice that phrase, the 11 and all the rest. That means Thomas was there with all of the apostles and all the other disciples. And the passage goes on to say, now it was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary, the other mother of James, and the other women with them who told these things to the apostles. "But these words seemed to them an idle tale, and they did not believe them." That last verse is one to underline as well. None of the apostles and other disciples believed the women. None of them. They together concluded the women in their grief were confused and had started to develop a tale. They may have thought that they had seen a bright light, not an angel, or maybe they thought they misunderstood the angel. Maybe they thought the women were wrongly remembering the words of Jesus, or that they were twisting the meaning of his words in their grief and excitement. For whatever reason, they thought the women were starting to create a tale. They didn't believe them. So Thomas was not the only doubter. They all doubted. Rudely doubted the women. Those poor women must have really been frustrated early that morning. And look at what the Gospel of Mark says concerning the disciples who met Jesus on their way to Emmaus as they were walking along that road. Mark chapter 16, starting with verse 12, we read, "After these things, he, Jesus, appeared in another form to two of them as they were walking into the country. And they went back and told the rest, but they did not believe them." The disciples also didn't believe the two men who met Jesus on the road to Emmaus. So Thomas was not the only doubter. Dear friends, listen to this. Thomas was not the only doubter, and Thomas was certainly not the last doubter. Today, people doubt as well. 2,000 years have gone by since Jesus' death and resurrection. It wouldn't surprise me at all if some of you listening today doubt what we are celebrating. The truth is extraordinary. A man who was cruelly crucified walked out of the tomb 3 days later, just as he said. It can certainly sound like a tale. And if you are doubting, I pray that like Thomas, you will be drawn from doubt to belief as we keep looking at the Holy Word of God. Because of Thomas's doubt and the insistence of the other disciples to believe, Thomas made a demand. And that's what we're going to focus on next, his demand. It was a detailed, stringent demand. Listen to what Thomas says in verse 25, quote, "Unless I see his hands, in his hands, the mark of the nails, and place my finger into the mark of the nails, and place my hand into his side, I will never believe." Thomas demanded to see and touch evidence of the crucifixion. Thomas wanted to touch the skin that had been ripped open by the nails. He wanted to touch the side of Jesus where the spear had pierced him. He wanted to see the body that had been put into the tomb. That is such a detailed demand. You might conclude that Thomas was being difficult, irritable, overly demanding. But Thomas was actually reacting to what the other disciples had told him. Look at what is said immediately before our passage today. Our passage is John chapter 20, starting with verse 24. Look with me at John chapter 20, verses 19 through 21. The verses say, "On the evening of that day, the first day of the week, the doors being locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said to them, 'Peace be with you.' When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, 'Peace be with you.' The other disciples saw the hands and side of Jesus, and surely that is what they were telling Thomas. So Thomas, adamant in his doubt, said, 'Well, unless I touch his hands and side like you have said, I'm not believing. He was simply asking for what they had seen. He was probably saying something like, you know, just leave me alone until you can show me what you say you saw. Until then, I'm not going to believe. Thomas was adamant. And I imagine that the other apostles and disciples were very sad to hear Thomas's disbelief and resistance. I imagine the other apostles were sadly frustrated with Thomas. They really wanted Thomas to believe. They wanted Thomas to know the joy and hope they were now knowing. They wanted Thomas to understand what Jesus had said and know that it was true. Think about it. The other disciples were finally starting to understand the words Jesus had spoken to them. His words were now starting to come back to them with clarity. And as they thought about those words, they were getting more excited about Jesus. Look at John chapter 2 with me. In verses 18 through 22, we read this. And so the Jews said to him, to Jesus, this passage is early in Jesus' ministry, but there's a comment about something we need to see here. This is early in Jesus' ministry. So the Jews said to him, what sign do you show us for doing these things? Jesus answered them, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. The Jews then said, it has taken 46 years to build this temple, and you will raise it up in 3 days. But he was speaking about the temple of his body. When therefore he was raised from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this, and they believed the scripture and the word that Jesus had spoken. That's an example of what the disciples were starting to remember. And the more they thought about everything, the more they were excited about what was now going to happen. Their grief was gone. They had seen Jesus. Their hope was soaring. And they wanted Thomas to join the excitement and hope. They loved Thomas and desperately wanted him to know the truth as well. How frustratingly sad it must have been for them to hear Thomas remain in his doubt. Unless I see his hands, I touch his hands, touch his side, I will not believe. And my guess is that all of us Christians know sadness and frustration of seeing someone doubt and reject the truth. We want everyone to know Jesus is risen, risen indeed. We want everyone to know the sure hope and joy we know. We especially want our family members and friends we love to know the same hope and joy we know. And if you are not a believer in Jesus, if you are a doubter, I hope it helps you to know how the Christians in your life feel. We Christians long for you to believe because we know Jesus is risen and that he is the Savior of the world. If we Christians sometimes sound frustrated at your disbelief, it's because we want everyone to know that this awesome truth. We want people to be glad in Jesus and for Jesus to be glorified through them. We especially want family members and friends to believe in Jesus. We want them to know the sure life that he gives. The words, Christ is risen, he is risen indeed, are the greatest words of victory that can be spoken. And having Jesus as your Lord and Savior is the greatest treasure. So if you are a doubter, if you are not a believer in Jesus, that is why the Christians in your life are sad. They don't want you to miss out on the greatest treasure there is. They don't want you to miss out on eternal life and all the full joy that comes with it. Do you know what this pandemic we are in is revealing? It's revealing how fleeting are the treasures of this world. During the last month, a lot has changed. If you would have told me 6 weeks ago that we would be live streaming on resurrection morning from an empty sanctuary, well, I would have been concerned for you. That would have sounded really strange to me. If you would have told me 6 weeks ago the stock market is going to go for a really wild ride and grocery stores will have absolutely empty shelves and schools and restaurants will be closed for the rest of the school year and dairymen will have to dump their milk, I would not have believed you. Again, I would have been concerned for you, but here we are. The sanctuary is empty. Learn from this current event how fleeting everything is in the world. And understand that in the midst of all that is fleeting, we Christians have sure hope. We are looking forward to everlasting life with the risen Lord. We have a treasure that cannot be taken away. We know that Jesus is the victor and he will come again. That is sweet assurance in the midst of chaos. And if you are a doubter, if you don't believe, please understand we want you to have that same sweet assurance. We know Jesus is Lord. We know he is risen. We know he alone is the way, the truth, and the life. We want all people to believe. That is how the other disciples were feeling as they spoke with Thomas. Thomas, you have to believe us. But Thomas didn't believe. And Thomas may have been getting tired of being called to believe. So he drew a line in the sand. Thomas said, listen, unless I see in his hands the mark of the nails and place my finger into the mark of the nails and place my hands into his side, I will never believe. Thomas was an adamant doubter. Nothing was going to change his mind. After Thomas made that demand, 8 days went by. We know that from the beginning of verse 26. Which starts with the words, 8 days later. For those 8 days, the other disciples enjoyed excitement and hope, and Thomas was hard set in his unbelief. I wonder, did the other apostles continue to spur him on to believe during those days? Or did Thomas go off by himself somewhere for those 8 days? We don't know. But regardless, that amount of time, 8 days, reveals how unyielding Thomas was in his doubt. And he would have remained unyielding in his doubt. He would have remained in unbelief if Jesus had not been gracious to him and met his demand. That's what Jesus did. He met the demands of Thomas very graciously. Listen to verses 26 and 27 again. 8 days later, his disciples were inside again, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands, and put out your hand and place it in my side. Do not disbelieve, but believe." Jesus stood among them even though the door was locked, but he was not a ghost. He was no phantom. The body that had been nailed to the cross, that body was in that room. Jesus said to Thomas, put your finger on the flesh that the nails went through. Put your hand on the side that was pierced by the spear. Feel the skin. Come touch me, Thomas, just like you demanded. The body that was crucified, the body placed in the tomb, is the very body that came out of the tomb and stood in that room with the apostles. Now, how can that be since the door was locked, we may wonder. Well, we're not told. What we do know is that Jesus now had a resurrected body. Jesus is still fully human and also fully divine, but his fully human body is now a resurrected human body. 1 Corinthians 15 teaches us that resurrected bodies are far more powerful than non-resurrected bodies. Jesus now has a resurrected human body. It can go through locked doors. And Thomas was given the opportunity to touch it. The demand was met. And Jesus told Thomas, do not disbelieve, but believe. Jesus was gracious to Thomas. And Thomas believed. Now, please understand that in a different way, Jesus is being very gracious to us this day. Jesus, through his written word, is revealing he is alive, and he is saying to us, don't doubt, don't disbelieve, don't doubt even a little, believe. Dear friends, Jesus is making known to us that he conquered death that we might have everlasting life and hence sure hope. He is calling us to believe and deeply enjoy the truth. Believe that we will one day see him and stand before his resurrected body. That's what this passage is calling for. And to help us think more about that, what I want to point out next from this passage is Thomas's devout response. That's the next heading, the next point. Thomas's devout response. Thomas's devout response is only a few words in length, but his words are extremely significant. In verse 28, we read this, Thomas answered him, my Lord and my God. In that response, we hear far more than intellectual acknowledgement that Jesus lives. We hear far more than Thomas's perceptual conclusion. We hear in that response Thomas's heart. We hear joyful, humble worship. Thomas calls Jesus his God. Thomas recognizes he is standing before the creator of all things. Thomas recognizes he is standing before a man he saw crucified who is also the living one true God. So Thomas responds with devout worship. Thomas says, my Lord and my God. And notice that Jesus didn't say, now Thomas, you are wrong. Jesus didn't say, Thomas, you know, I'm only a prophet. I'm only a great man. I'm only a good teacher. I'm only an example for you to follow. Don't worship me, Thomas. I'm just a man, a prophet. That's all I am. Jesus didn't say that. He didn't say anything like that. Rather, Jesus accepted Thomas's words. Jesus let Thomas worship him. And notice that Thomas's response includes the desire to serve Jesus. Thomas calls Jesus his Lord. Thomas is ready to gladly do Jesus' bidding. That's why I call it a devout response. Thomas committed himself to Christ. That's the wise, right response to the risen Lord and Savior Jesus. You bow with the knees of your heart and you say, Jesus, you are my Lord and my God. I will do whatever you desire of me. You commit yourself to him. And you therefore listen to Jesus' holy word in order to obey it. If Jesus is your Lord, then you listen to this book. You read this book, you read the Bible, you study the Bible to obey it. What you do with the Bible after Easter says much about how you have responded to Jesus on Easter. My Lord and my God is the right response to Jesus, who is indeed risen from the dead. Now listen to this. After Thomas responds in that way, Jesus gives an amazing promise. And the promise is not for Thomas. It's for us. The promise is clearly for us. That is an awesome part of this passage. Jesus declares a promise in response to Thomas. That's a promise to us. And so that's what I will title my last study, my last point, Jesus' promise to us. Listen to what Jesus says to Thomas, verse 29. Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Jesus promised a blessing. Everyone who believes today without touching the risen Lord has that blessing. What is the blessing? The blessing is that God Almighty, is pleased with your unseen belief. God is pleased that you have heard His word and believed. You are honoring Jesus with your unseen, untouching belief. And someday, you will have the joy of hearing Jesus welcome you into His kingdom. And you will have the joy of knowing how pleased He is. That is something to look forward to. That's truly a blessing. That's a blessing that Thomas will not have. Thomas is going to have all kinds of blessings, but he will not have that blessing. Now, those of you who are doubters might be thinking, "But how can I believe if I don't see Jesus?" You might be thinking, "Well, I want my demands met. I want Jesus to show up here and let me touch Him." Well, let me tell you something else that has happened since Thomas's belief. What has happened is the sending of the Holy Spirit. When Thomas believed, the Holy Spirit had not yet been sent. Now the Holy Spirit has been sent. Listen to what Jesus said before His death. Jesus said, quote, "I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send Him to you. And when He comes, He will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment." Wherever you are live streaming this from, the Holy Spirit is present with you. The Holy Spirit is present in this room. He's present with you. And the Holy Spirit takes the Word of God, His Word, and He convicts hearts. And so I ask, what is the Holy Spirit doing in your heart right now? Is He convicting you? Is He drawing you to believe in Jesus? What the Holy Spirit does is far more powerful than what Thomas experienced. If the Holy Spirit is convicting you, then realize you are being treated graciously and respond. Respond like Thomas did. Bow your heart to Jesus. Say to Jesus, "My Lord and my God," and enjoy the sure, unfailing hope Jesus gives. Jesus is risen. He is risen indeed. Please bow with me in prayer. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for your grace and your mercy, the grace you showed Thomas long ago when you showed up in that locked room and showed him the marks in your side. And we thank you for graciously sending the Holy Spirit to take your word and convict hearts. Father, we pray that you'd be gracious to each and every one of us right this moment. For those of us who have believed for many years, may you deepen our belief. May you help us to relish in the hope that we have, the great joy, the assurance, be glorified in that. Father, gladly do we commit ourselves to you. Use us however you desire. Help us to understand more and more your word to us, your call to us. Help us to obey you, to honor you in all of life. And Father, we ask you to be gracious to those right now who have been doubting, who have not yet believed. We ask that you would touch their hearts through your Spirit and draw them into your kingdom. Do a miracle in their lives. Do a resurrection miracle right now in their hearts and lives. Draw them into your kingdom that they might live with you forever and bring you glory and honor as well. Do that for your name's sake. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. We're going to continue to worship our risen Lord, singing together, worship Christ, the risen King. He is the King. Let's give our hearts and commit our lives to Him.